Persecution, during which the ideas of John Locke, the most influential philosopher in the English language, come to be espoused in the Bill of Rights, limiting the power of the king. As a result, whichever year in the late 17th century you visit Britain, the day ahead is likely to be full of surprises. All these changes in society are confusing enough for the indigenous inhabitants. You, the modern visitor, will have the additional difficulty of not being familiar with even the basics of life in the 17th century home. What are you going to eat for breakfast? How do you control the itching of nits and the lice in your clothes? What should you use to brush your teeth? As you wake, the noises of the carts and carriages in the cobbled thoroughfare outside sound strange. So too do the calls and greetings of the street vendors and the pedestrians on their way to market or to church. Open the curtains of your chamber, and you will look down through the small panes of uneven, slightly distorting glass to see women's bonnets and gentlemen's periwigs as people greet each other in their various stilted or informal fashions. How are you going to get on in this society, which is so unfamiliar to you? This book will tell you how to live day by day in the late 17th century. You will learn what to wear and what to eat and drink, which places are the best to stay in, what money can buy, and how to get around. You will learn about lice control and dental hygiene, even if the 17th century practices cause you to squirm. As you will see, the general approach of a time traveller's guide is that the past is best viewed close up and personally, in contrast to traditional history, which emphasises the value of objectivity and distance. Hence, you are very much at the centre of this story. The past might have been solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short for some, and grandiose and luxurious for others. But simply to be told these things does not compare with seeing life at close hand, albeit in your mind's eye. Before we travel to the Britain of 1660 to 1700, however, there are a few key facts you need to have at your disposal. First, you need to understand why we use the term restoration to describe the period. It refers to the return of the monarchy in 1660, after what the diarist John Evelyn describes as a most bloody rebellion of nearly 20 years. This rebellion breaks out in 1642, when forces loyal to King Charles I gather to oppose those who support Parliament, led by Oliver Cromwell. At stake is the matter of who has absolute authority in England. Are the people bound to obey the monarch because he rules by divine right, as a conduit of the will of God? Or do they have a right to self-government through Parliament? It is one of the most profound questions of political life, and the answer can hardly be decided by a debate. 4 years of intermittent warfare ensue. Judgment comes down first on the side of the people, led by Cromwell and Parliament. In April 1646, after a string of military setbacks, the king seeks refuge among his Scottish subjects. A few months later, the Scots give him up and send him as a prisoner to the English Parliament. After a brief second civil war in 1648, which ends in defeat for the Royalists, Charles is tried for high treason. He is found guilty and beheaded at Whitehall on the 30th of January 1649. A few days later, the monarchy and the House of Lords are abolished. England, Wales, Scotland, and Ireland are collectively declared a republic, a commonwealth and free state, and Parliament formally confirms itself as the source of all just power in the British Isles. Parliament in these years is dominated by a Puritan outlook, characterised by a set of stringent religious and moral concerns that take precedence over the old traditions and customs of the country. The bishops are abolished, as are the church courts. A measure of how extreme things become in these years is the Adultery Act of 1650. Under this law, anyone found guilty of adultery is to be hanged. In 1654, Susan Bounty, the wife of Richard Bounty of Biddeford, Devon, falls pregnant with another man's child. She is tried at the Exeter Assizes for the crime of adultery and sentenced.